Hear me okay. In the back. 3:30 in the afternoon. I hope you all have plenty of energy left for the rest of the day. My name is Nathan Halsted. I'm a program manager on the Visual Studio platform. I work primarily on the Visual Studio shell, the isolated and integrated shell redistributable products that we have. This is Saurabh Jain. He's a developer on our team. And today we're going to run through a very basic overview of the Visual Studio shell, what it is, and how you can take advantage of that in Visual Studio 2010. So what are we going to cover today? Quick show of hands. Who has any clue whatsoever what the Visual Studio shell is? Who's tried implementing something using the Visual Studio shell? Who's done it for 2010? All right, so we got about 50% or more of the room familiar with the Visual Studio shell and 10% that has any idea of what's coming in 2010. Today we're going to cover what is the Visual Studio shell, a quick overview of when you should use the shell, and then we'll walk through an overview of how you can build a Visual Studio shell application with a specific focus on Visual Studio 2010. I'll walk you through a little bit of the customer feedback, and I want to leave plenty of time for questions and answers. So if you have any questions, go ahead and think through those. At any time, feel free to stop us. Ask us questions. Also, if we're going too fast, feel free to raise your hand, ask us to slow down. I have never been accused of talking too slowly, so feel free to just raise your hand, slow us down, ask questions. This is a very interactive session. Visual Studio. When we take a look at Visual Studio, we got this big blob that we like to call, now today we're calling it Visual Studio Ultimate. Traditionally, we used to call it Team Suite. With 2010, as announced today, we now have what we call the Visual Studio Ultimate SKU, and this gives you everything in the world that is Visual Studio. I like to break this up into four different boxes. Because I like boxes and I can draw boxes, I will break it up into boxes. And really, it boils down into four key groups of technologies that we offer today. We have our application plumbing and core, and this is just the shell and the windowing and really what makes up a Windows application. Above that, we have our generic IDE components. These are our editors, our tool windows, our error list, our task list. And this really gives Visual Studio its core functionality and identity. Above that, we offer general developer tools. These are our SharePoint extensibility, our Office extensibility, our VSCO tools, our C#, our VB, our languages. Visual Studio really starts gaining its flexibility and power when you start plugging in all the general developer tools, including profilers and debuggers. This is what a developer tool is. And above that, we have our specialist tools, our architecture viewers, or our test tools, or even some of our advanced debugger tools. And so, when I take a look at these four boxes, we've actually given names to these things. At the very core, what we have is what we call our Visual Studio shell. And this is our application core and the core shell. This, again, is just our windowing and our layout and the very basic functionality that you get with Visual Studio. The general developer tools, VB, C#, the debuggers, the profilers, this is what we've traditionally called Visual Studio Pro. And this is our Pro line of SKUs. Above that, when you start integrating in the specialist tools, this is what we start calling the Visual Studio Team Suite, or Ultimate. And so we have a layer of SKUs that we offer to our customers, each being distinguished by core functionality, whether that be content or core tool windows, but everything has its layer. And when we strip away some of the Pro and Ultimate functionality, we get what we call the Visual Studio Shell. This is a very core Visual Studio that has your basic tool windows, your basic windowing, your command structure. And we offer this as a separate install for you to plug and build your own product into. So we offer this in two offerings. We have our integrated offering, which is about plugging your tools into a Visual Studio core that really gives your application identity for developers, and an isolated mode, that's your own application that you get to fully brand. So in the integrated mode, your product runs inside Visual Studio. It's a completely separate install, and you don't need to worry about Visual Studio being on the machine. This is the core value that the integrated shell brings. So when you install your product, it can install off on its own. If you install Visual Studio, it'll install right next to your product, and the tools will live side by side. Contrasting that, if you install Visual Studio Ultimate, now everything can live together in the broad SKU. Contrast that with the isolated shell. Your product runs separately from Visual Studio. You can give it its own brand, its own identity. You can customize the look and feel. Again, this is offered through a separate installer. But now when you install your product, it installs off to the side. And when Visual Studio installs side by side with your product. Your product has a completely separate identity from Visual Studio. So the first question, you know, what should I choose? And there's really three scenarios that we take a look at when we're talking about extending Visual Studio. The first scenario, my product enhances Visual Studio. I do C++ enhancement or C# enhancement, or I offer tool windows or advanced debugging or advanced profiling, or I even have that little GUID creator tool. Typically, we'd see these offered up as Visual Studio extensions. These are lightweight. You can build and package your own extension. And when people have Visual Studio, through our extension manager, you can just go and download these extensions and plug them right into Visual Studio. The next scenario that happens a lot is I have a product that's designed for traditional Visual Studio developers, but it can stand and live on its own. It should be able to install without Visual Studio on disk, but I want them to integrate together. And this is where we have our Visual Studio integrated shell SKU. The last scenario that we typically talk about is my product is a standalone application. Now, my product is a standalone application. I want it to have its own brand. I want it to be isolated from everything else that's on disk. And what we offer today for that is the Visual Studio isolated shell. So these are our three primary ways of using Visual Studio and building extensions for Visual Studio. Second question that comes up, what is in the shell? Some people prefer lists, so for those folks, we have our application core, and this is our file management, our windowing UI, our command system, our settings and persistence. These are all things that we typically get questions about where people say, I want to build an application. It looks a lot like Visual Studio, and I would rather not do all that application plumbing myself because that takes time, and the maintenance of that is really not my core value to my customers. The second thing we offer with the shell is the typical core Visual Studio features. These are our code editor, our integrated help system, our database tools, our resource editor, all your favorite tool windows like the error list, the task manager, your watch windows. These are all part of the core shell. And then the last thing, and the thing we typically pride ourselves on, is just the plethora of extensibility points. We have places you can plug in your own source control services, your visual designers, WPF, WinForms, and DSL. You can build your own visual designers. We have services for languages. We have services for debuggers. We have services for build tools. We have extension points for database tools. And we even, in 2010, have a whole bunch of services for discovering and managing your extensions so that you don't have to build your own deployment tools. We're making deployment as simple as an X copy. And if you went to Quan's talk an hour ago in the other room, you would know a little bit more about the extension discovery and management functionality that we provide. But rather than give you a list, what I'd love to do is bring Saurabh up and give you a demo of how do you build a shell application? What does the shell actually look like? And when we take a look at the shell, we really think about it in three different aspects. There's the shell itself, the core functionality that you get that you can redistribute to your customers. There's the SDK, and we want to run you through what's changed in the SDK for 2010. I saw a few hands out there for folks that have developed for the 2008 shell. And for those of you, you should see what we've done for 2010 because the SDK is fantastic. And then we'll walk through just a simple scenario of building your first shell application. So with that, I'll bring up Saurabh.
Hi, I'm Saurabh. I work with Nathan on the Visual Studio platform team. And since I'm a developer, I always live in the Visual Studio environment. For that purpose, I don't even like to do Alt-Tab to even see pictures. So what I have done is just created a small photo viewer, a slideshow viewer in Visual Studio. It loads up in the Visual Studio UI. I can click around the photos load up, which is good. That's just a starting point. But I also wanted to, the other reason I don't like the Windows slideshow viewer is that it doesn't give me any flexibility on what images will load first, what will the images will load second, how to transition. So I also went ahead and created just a slideshow designer in Visual Studio itself. Now all of this is available in the basic shell application. And I can just add a new photo and add a new transition on that, like this photo should go, you know, from here to there, and this will be great. Now this works for me because I know Visual Studio, I'm a developer, I can play with Visual Studio. However, if I ever want to share it with my mom, it's going to be a lot of trouble. She's going to first see this, and she's going to first ask, what is the Solution Explorer, what is this Team Explorer thing, what is this debug menu, build menu? She's going to make me explain to her for like hours and hours. She's going to give me a call every day. She's not going to figure it out. So that's where the big power of an isolated shell application comes in. This allows us to clean up the UI, makes it simple, makes it understandable for her. So let's get started. Let me just close this so that. So the way you create an isolated shell application is by using one of our built-in templates. And our templates live in the other project type extensibility. That's where most of the Visual Studio extensibility project template live. We'll start with the Visual Studio shell isolated and just hit OK. And this will create our basic isolated shell application. Let it get started. And by default, we show you a documentation UI on like what all is available in the shell and very small ways of how to configure it for your own application. Let's just see what is given to us right off the bat when we just launch it. So I will let it build and launch. And in the meantime, as Nathan had asked, like there are a few people who have seen and developed shell for VS 2008, you will see one big change is there are more projects, but there is also some more development, some more speed up we have done on the launch of the application. If you see, in VS 2008, if you're developing an isolated shell application, it will take like a couple of minutes just to launch. In 2010, the big improvement is the speed of the launch. We have taken away the stash setup custom action on it, make it faster, it just launches in 5 seconds. So here, your application is up. It feels like Visual Studio because that's the basic application we started with, but doesn't cut it. I want to give my own UI, my own feel to it. It has a title bar called VS Shell Stuff 7. It didn't show any new splash screen. So let's just close this and let's start customizing it for our own taste. So if you look at the projects we have created, we have our main exe project, and there is a shell customization folder. This folder contains all the customization points which one can use to customize the application for their own needs. And to start off, let's just replace the splash screen. So we start with a blank splash screen, but I have one created in my paint. I will just copy it and paste it over in the resource editor and then save it. And while we are here, let me also open another file. This is a package.dev file. So previously, if you have developed an extension for VS 2008, you would have known that you have to go into the registry, add entries in 5 different places, and it was a little bit of a hassle. You had to go search on Bing, search on MSDN Online to figure out what all places to modify, and it was a little bit of a hassle. So what we have created is a package.dev file. It's an ANI style file, which has all the customization points in a single place, and it makes it easy to tweak it because it's on a single location. So let's just change the name of the application to and once it builds, I will launch it, and you will see that how we have replaced the splash screen for it and the title bar for it. There. The splash screen has been replaced, and if you notice, the title bar has changed. This is good, but if I still give it to my mom, she's going to discover that there is a Server Explorer, and then she's going to go find this Connect to Server tab, and then one fine day I will get a call from my mom, give me a server name. I'm like, what server name? I never gave you a server name. But there is the server name, I just discovered it, and give me a server name. So she's going to get confused. So let's try to remove this. Yeah. So let's just cancel it and close it, and I will show you how you can also remove and simplify the UI as part of our development. So the way we had a package.dev file, we have a package.undef file. You can think of a package.undef file like a blacklist of, so something. If something is listed over here, it will be removed from your application. Now, in 2008, we shipped this project template with nothing in there, and the package.undef file was empty. And then people really had to go search, again, look into the registry, find which feature corresponded to which GUID, and they had to go and tweak it. So in 2010, what we have done is that pre-populated with a list of things and with some commands and some UI. So the Server Explorer thing is tied to Explorer and design packages. We will just uncomment it out so that it is listed in this blacklist. And I will just build it again and launch it. And once that happens,
so one key thing to know here, Saurabh, is that people aren't required to memorize their favorite GUIDs anymore. Correct?
Oh yeah, they are listed with comments in there. So there is, even if the developer of this feature, if you ask them what the GUID is, they will not know. It's 99% of the case. That's the thing. So if you look now, there is no connected database or connected server thing. So on a typical development experience, we will spend like a couple of hours cleaning up the UI, but it's much better than creating your own application. But that's great. But what about adding my own window? That's what we started, my slideshow window. So the way you extend a shell or a VS is by creating an extension. And we will just create a new project now. One of the key ways of creating or extending a shell is by creating a package. And this same package project template is available next to our isolated shell application.
Now, where do I get this project template from, Saurabh?
So this template comes with Visual Studio SDK. As soon as you install the SDK, this functionality is available to you. So let's just start creating our own. So we do offer you the ability to program in your own favorite language. We offer you VB, C#, and C++. I will just start with C# because that's what I typically use. This is just some description of your package. Now, we offer our package wizard offers three ways of adding extensibility to Visual Studio. One is a menu command. You can think menu command is like a build action, like a build command. Once that command is clicked, it will execute an action. A tool window is like the slideshow window I showed you, or the Solution Explorer window. And custom editor is just writing, providing a editing experience for your custom build, custom file type. It's very simple. By default, we'll show you how to integrate a rich text editor into Visual Studio. But our goal here is to write a slideshow window, and I will select a tool window. And as soon as you select the tool window, it will also add the command to launch your window for you. Let's call it slideshow. And command ID is just a friendly name in your project for your command. Hit next. Now, we also provide a built-in way of adding unit test support and integration test support to your application. We do not need it for this demo purposes, so I'm going to just uncheck these and just hit finish. Now, we have added the package for your window, but it still has to be integrated into your application. For that purpose, we have the Shell Extensions V6 project. You can think of it as like a setup project which collects all the extensions for your application. And if you have developed for VS 2008, it's like the shell dependency dialog. And if you notice that we have already added an aboutbox package, one of the feedback we receive is that there was no example built in on how to add a new functionality. So as part of this template creation, we automatically add an aboutbox to your application and also show you how it is hooked up in your application. So let's just add our newly added window to this your shell project. I will select the project I created. I will hit OK. And I will just launch it just to see what the basic UI or how does it well integrate in the application.
Now, one interesting thing to note here is this file today, if you went to Quan's talk, you would have a little bit more background on this. But traditionally in 2008, you used to have to go into the registry to register your application with Visual Studio. And everything was hooked up through the registry. What we've done today for you now is just we will declaratively register your extension through what we call our v6 file, which is just an XML file that tells us that our extension exists. And this is part of the new extension discovery service that exists for Visual Studio. Rather than hacking the registry, you'll see a theme consistently. Rather than touching the registry, we're trying to make it as simple and straightforward as possible just by selecting an item and adding it to your project.
Should I wait to ask questions?
No, you can ask questions now.
So the v6 file for an isolated shell,
yep.
Obviously that runs independently of and separate from regular Visual Studio. Where does it go then for the extension for an isolated shell? Where do you place it?
So the question is the v6 file, when you're talking about an isolated shell application, you want it not to register for Visual Studio, but for your isolated shell application. Where do you place that v6 file? And the way we've done our extension discovery specifically is we have in the application itself what we call a master package.dev file. That's just an INI file that says, here are the directories we're going to search for extensions. So within that package.dev file, you'll see a line that says extension directories or something to that effect. If you place your v6 in one of those directories, when we boot up, we will detect all of the new extensions there and dynamically load them. And so, again, you don't have to worry about your registry. All you got to do is put them in the right place in your directory structure. And because your isolated shell application has its own directory structure, you can just place them in its own isolated directory.
So if we wanted to put them in a packages to load directory underneath the executable directory,
yep.
The way it's set up now, that's no problem.
Yes.
All right. So getting back to our window, so let's just show you that how this window is added. By default, it is added in this location in your command window. And if you notice that the same docking experience is available in your application. And this is what we started with. This is, by default, we will add a XAML window, a XAML tool window for you. But let's just go and customize it for our own purposes and add the same XAML I used to create the slideshow viewer in VS in here. So I will just copy it over. There we go. Let me just launch it. There, the slideshow is available in your own application. This is much cleaner UI. Now you're going to ask, what about the designer you are showing me? How do I integrate the same designer back into this application? And this ties into the question which was asked. So let me just show you how easy it is to do a drag and drop to, oops, wrong place. Just so we have the extensions folder, and I'm going to copy my slideshow designer back in this application and launch the application again.
So are you telling me you just installed that extension with a copy and a paste?
Yeah. And I use the same extension in VS, and I can use the same extension in any application. And let me just open that demo file for you. There, you have it. The same demo file I was using in VS is also available in Isolator Shell. Now you're going to ask, like, how long did it take me to create the designer? It just took me a couple of hours to create this whole designer. And this designer is built top of on a DSL runtime, which we do ship with our shell applications, our shell offering. And there's a talk tomorrow on the domain, by DSL I mean a domain-specific language. There's a talk tomorrow morning if you want to learn more about the domain-specific languages. But this is how you create your own application, your own designers in your own application. And this is something I can share with my mom. She'll be happy. She can do her own transitions of the photos on the slideshow, and I don't have to listen to any of her talks. You heard something?
That's not isolated.
So the question is, does the isolated shell have the tools macros editor in 2010? And the answer for that is no. In 2008, we had the tools macros IDE, and some of the interaction between the macros IDE in 2008 just wasn't as clean as it should have been. In 2010, we removed it, and really, if you need a macros experience, you're looking at the VSTA technology that we were talking about in the last talk, because that gives you the integrated automation and macros experience that you'd be looking for.
So with that, I'm going to hand it back over to Nathan.
Thank you, Sarb. So what Sarb just showed, one is how you can build the Visual Studio application for your mother, which I'm sure all of you are planning on doing this weekend. Two is really Visual Studio in 2010 as compared to 2008. The SDK has enabled drag and drop deployment of your extensions. The SDK is now putting you in touch with the WPF extension points for Visual Studio. It's now much easier to build in WPF tool windows or WPF UI because the shell is natively hosting WPF. We didn't really talk about it, but the new code editor that you may have seen demoed earlier today is also part of the Visual Studio shell. And you get the ability to use the rich extensibility model for the editor as part of your Visual Studio shell. This DSL runtime, one of the common scenarios we get from customers is, I have a visual design or designer I want to build. We offer WPF, we offer WinForms, and we offer DSL. So you can do the visual design with the code behind if your application is doing more of like a scripting or has a domain-specific language. And this is very common in verticals such as like manufacturing, where you want to build a manufacturing workflow, or a business process, where you want to build a business process workflow. Again, the isolated shell is designed for a very specific standalone application. You can use or do all the same functionality in the integrated shell, and Sarb showed that. He had a package in the Visual Studio, and then he moved it over to the Visual Studio isolated shell just by dragging and dropping the DSL component he had built. The SDK itself has become a lot simpler, and if it was a little bit harder to notice, but if you took a look at inside Visual Studio, we've reorganized the entire tree structure here. And so we provided a sample extension, the About Box package, which shows you how to integrate a WPF tool window. It gives you a sample of one of the most common questions we have of how do I replace the About Box? How do I brand my application? And we show you how to get that integrated. Sarb also showed how to add extensions to your project, and that was as simple as clicking a button that said add reference to extension, and we added it to a declarative manifest for the application so it knew where to find it. The VS Shell Stub application itself, for folks who are a little more familiar, we've now created a folder in the SDK called Shell Customization. And this is all your primary customization points. Sarb talked about the package def and the package undef. This is just a simple way of saying .ini and .unini, which is a lot of vowels, but that's effectively what it is. It's a white list of what do I add in, how do I want to configure, and how do I want to change my Visual Studio application, and then a black list of what are all the off switches I want to flip. Within here, you'll also see we have our splash screen. We have what we call the .vs settings file, and this is just like Visual Studio. This contains all your settings and persistence, and you can have the default settings and persistence like you do with Visual Studio. There's also in the UI package for the Visual Studio shell what we call our VSCT file, and this is what we had in 2008, but this is all your commands and tool windows in your project, and now you can go down to the granularity of tool windows. Which tool window do I want to enable? Which tool window do I want to disable? And you'll see friendly names in there like no file menu open command or no server and tools window. So you can either flip the giant off switch which says I don't want any of this functionality, or you can go more granular in your menus and say I don't want this menu item or this menu item or this menu item. And all of that comes with the default template and is a lot easier to use than it was in 2008. You may have already heard this, but in 2008, for those of you who have extended Visual Studio, we had what we called the package load key. This was the bane of everyone's existence. In 2008, we also had what we called the shell load key, which was the analog to the package load key. So for those of you who struggled with package load key alone, when you got to package load key plus shell load key, you probably spent 5 to 10 days trying to figure out why your application wouldn't load. Well, I'm proud to announce that in 2010, both of those are gone. You no longer need to get a PLK. You no longer need to get an SLK. We will just let you plug in your extension into Visual Studio. And there's no mingling of GUIDs and strings, so everything just plugs in without any additional effort. Question?
Yeah, without those keys, if you want to create versions of your own application that can run side by side, how do you figure that out?
So the question is, if you want to create versions of your own application that can run side by side without those keys, how does it figure it out? And really, it boils down to how is the isolated shell isolated versus Visual Studio being fully combined. We isolate the isolated shell application specifically by isolating out the file system and isolating out the registry.
So it's just using that base registry.
So we just change the registry hive that we're registering everything with, and the package.dev file is just a unhydrated form of the registry. So when we boot up, we'll configure the registry as it was before. So if you were targeting the registry before, you can still target the registry today, and it will merge that with the files on disk. And then the file isolation allows you to isolate specific files from each other. So if you have multiple shell applications, you can have one living in one file directory, one living in another directory, and a third living in a third directory. Any other questions? So we just walked through the SDK, and we showed a little bit of what's come in Visual Studio 2010 with the SDK and the isolated shell application. Now, the question I often get after people have seen this is, well, why is Microsoft even offering a shell application? I mean, you get a lot of money for Visual Studio. Why are you giving away so much functionality for free? And really what this boils down to is our goal as a division to make every software project successful with Microsoft tools and platforms. And there's three market trends that we really are taking a look at here. The first is that vertical industries are growing rapidly, and they want their own tool sets. Now, these aren't necessarily developer tool sets, but they want a rich developer-like experience. And there's a lot of shared requirements between an application you're building for finance, or an application you're building for manufacturing, or an application you're building for health, where you have file management that you want. You want window management. And so this is becoming a solution accelerator to let you build tools for those vertical industries. Now, as those vertical industries mature, there's also dev tools that starting up. And Microsoft isn't going to be able to target every vertical industry. But we want our ecosystem, we want you guys to be able to target those vertical industries using the expertise you already have. The second trend that we see is that the development environments are becoming much more heterogeneous. There's this concept of the Microsoft stack, and everybody's using all Microsoft technologies. And that's not strictly true. We find in a lot of businesses and organizations, you're going to be running mixed environments. And while Visual Studio is very good at targeting Microsoft platforms, there's no reason somebody shouldn't be able to use Visual Studio to work in a mixed environment and target multiple platforms. And so with the integrated shell, we have our ecosystem again starting to target some of those business opportunities that Microsoft will really never target. The third thing that we see is that the breadth of languages is increasing. And this could be said at any point in history. But we have, if you see in Visual Studio 2010, we have F#, which is functional programming. You'll see Ruby is picking up steam. You got Python, you've got, there's just a plethora of languages that are coming out. And we're not going to target all of those directly, but there's no reason somebody shouldn't be able to plug into everybody's favorite IDE to give you the experience you want. So there's a tremendous amount of business opportunity out there, and we want you to be able to capitalize on that. What we typically hear from customers as far as key benefits of the shell, customers are usually happy because we've accelerated their time to market. We've developed a solution accelerator that lets them work within a familiar environment. You get to focus on what gives you your competitive advantage rather than focusing on getting the windowing right and the file management right. You get to choose your level of integration with Visual Studio. You can build an extension. You can plug in on a standalone application that integrates with Visual Studio. Or you can go build an isolated application, and it can go run under its own name, its own branding. And we love seeing all three of those. You get to all the branding flexibility you might want, whether that be an extension or within your own standalone tool set. And one of the biggest pieces of feedback we hear from our customers is that they love the fact that they're working to provide a familiar environment, that the Visual Studio environment is very comfortable, very familiar, and when you're plugging those tools in, your customers, or our customers, your customers, will be much happier working in an environment they've already developed a proficiency on. Here's some of the feedback we've gotten from some of the customers today on who have built Visual Studio shell-based applications. I'll give you a moment to read that, and while folks are reading that, I'll pause for questions. For those of you who can't get enough feedback, we have a little bit more.
Yeah,
Question?
Sure. Given the focus on being able to use languages and platforms that Microsoft probably wouldn't be doing themselves in Visual Studio, creating an isolated shell or extending the existing Visual Studio, I noticed when you were showing the wizards in 2010 for packages before, you had like menu, tool window, editor.
Yep.
But what about wizards for, you know, new project type, language service?
So the
things you would need to do that.
The question is when we walked through the SDK, we were talking, we showed that there was this little menu that said, how do you want to extend Visual Studio? Do you want a new tool window? Do you want a new command? Do you want a new editor? And what seems to be missing is we have tons of extensibility points in Visual Studio, so why did we focus on only those three? For the SDK, for this specific template, what we wanted to focus on were the three more common types of extension points. And so when you open up that template, you see Visual Studio package. And those are the three best correlated extension types in Visual Studio that correlated to a package. Now, if you use our SDK, we have templates for editor extensions. We do have templates for toolbox controls. We have extensions for most of the key extension points. And what you'll see with the extension manager now plugged into Visual Studio 2010 is you'll see more samples for each of the different extension types coming through over time. So, for example, debugger extensions. There's no reason debugger extensions won't come online. Or to your point about there's a broad range of extensions that will be coming online when people start plugging into Visual Studio, they can use the extension manager to surface those templates up. And so we know we'll never have just one or two extension points, but we're trying to make sure we have templates for all the most popular extension points and then infrastructure so you can plumb in your own content that you can deliver to your customers to extend whatever you put into Visual Studio. And on that note, a couple resources for you if you aren't already familiar with these. Get to become very familiar with msdn.com/VSX. This is our Visual Studio Developer Center. We have samples, we have walkthroughs, we have videos, we have tons of information about how to get started with Visual Studio, how to take Visual Studio and extend it even further. We have blogs, we have anything you can think of there. That's your first stop for extending Visual Studio. Second, we have our forums. These are linked to from the Dev Center, but if you can memorize a large URL, key piece here is social.msdn.microsoft.com. Go to the forums, and then there's what we call the VSX, and that's our acronym for Visual Studio Extensibility, because everything that starts with EX has to be acronymized X. Contacts, I'm Nathan Halsted.
I'm Sarb.
Sarb, and then we do have another alias. If you're interested in joining our partner program, we have what we call our Visual Studio Industry Partners. And there's a tremendous opportunity here to partner with Microsoft to get some exposure of your product to our ecosystem, and that's vsipinfo@microsoft.com. So if any of you aren't partners today and are thinking about partnering with Microsoft, this is a good email alias to get that information on. And again, that's available on the Developer Center. So on that note, if there's any other questions, feel free to raise your hand now. If not, we'll give you a little bit of time to grab some coffee, stretch. I know it's been a long day. And if you want to come on up, you can go ahead and ask questions after the session as well. Thank you for your time.